From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our program. 4 years ago this week, we broadcast our first program on Radio Star Country. Just to mark the occasion, I'm going to play part of that first broadcast. I will play the hymn that was sung by the Reverend William McCrae, Ye Must Be Born Again. And then I'm going to play my testimony, which I gave on that first program. It is especially fitting that I do so, for it was on the 5th of April, 1964, that I was converted to Christ. And at this time of the year, I ever remember the mercy of God to me, a sinner, lost and undone, and how he saved me from what would have been inevitable ruin. If you were not listening to that first program, well, here's a chance to hear it. First of all, then, we will have the Reverend William McCrae singing, You Must Be Born Again. And after we listen to the hymn, I will play the recording of my testimony as I gave it on the 5th of April, 1999.
I don't want my mansions here in this world of sin and shame. All I want to know is I've been born again. I don't want wealth and fame. I don't care who knows my name. All I want to know is that I've been born again. As I journey through this land, there's just one who understands all the troubles and the trials I go through. Yes, there's one way up above, looking down in peace and love, and he tells me that I've been born again. My life was filled with sin, and I had no peace within. Then I read where ye must be born again. So I knelt there in the aisle, and God met me with a smile. Now I know that I've been born again. There's but one who understands all the troubles and the trials I go through. Yes, there's one way up above, looking down in peace and love, and he tells me that I've been born again. And he tells me that I've been born again.
I too can say that I've been born again. I must stress that it was not the result of any righteousness on my part, for I was anything but a churchgoer when I was converted. It was all of the Lord's mercy alone. I was born outside Lisnaskee in the townland of Kinahy. In the early 1950s, our family moved to Belfast. When I started to work in Ulster Television, just short of my 16th birthday, I virtually had ceased to attend church except on special occasions, and mind you, they had to be special. By the time I was 20, religion and God played little or no part in my life. The dances, the pubs, and the party going was all that my life contained. On Easter Friday 1964, I travelled to Portrush with a friend, his name was Albert. We were like many young people at that time who congregated in Portrush at the Easter period. We had nearly missed the train from Belfast and had to jump into the first compartment available. That, coupled with the fact that we were travelling by train at all, was providential. Both Albert and I had lost our driving licences for drunken driving some 6 months earlier. That was why we were on the train. The carriage that we tumbled into was occupied by six girls about our own age. We were happy enough about that and began to introduce ourselves by offering them cigarettes. They refused. We asked whether they were going to the dance in the Arcadia that evening. No, they said. We're not going to the dance. And why are you going to Portrush? We said. We're going to a young people's Christian convention, was their answer. There was no way out of the carriage, except through the door that we had entered, and that would have led us out into mid-air. The train was a non-stop train to Portrush. During the journey, the girls attempted to faithfully witness to us. I don't remember much of what they said, but I do remember that we were anything but polite to them. When we arrived at Portrush, Albert and I dived for the door to get out. One girl, her name was Hazel, grabbed my arm and said, "Just remember that God says in his word, my spirit shall not always strive with man." Genesis 6:3. I laughed at her and pushed on out of the train. I never thought about those girls or the verse quoted again during the weekend in Portrush. The following Tuesday, it was back to work. Albert, who worked with me in UTV, did not come to work. About 9:30 he rang to say that his father had unexpectedly died on the Monday evening. I attended the funeral on the Thursday. He was buried in Tocherdoo Methodist Graveyard, only a few miles from Kilskerry. At the weekend, I went up to stay with Albert, for his mother had been hospitalised with a stroke some months before, and his only sister was a nurse, and so she was away from home. I arrived on the Friday evening and was greeted at the door by Albert, and he told me that he had got saved the evening before. I was vexed and angry at this news. I thought of the pubs and the dances that we went to, and I was angry that all this was over. I knew enough about Christianity to know that Christians did not go to such places. I pulled out my packet of cigarettes, I offered him one, and then immediately sneered, "Of course, you're a Christian now, and would not smoke." I began to blow clouds of smoke all round the place, just to annoy him. Isn't it amazing how that instant enmity between me and my friend had sprung up as soon as I, an unrepentant sinner, had learned that he had been converted? During the weekend, the arguing and the debating continued. About 9 o'clock in the evening of the Sunday, we had both fallen silent as we sat either side of the fireplace. And as I looked into the flames of the fire, musing over the events of the weekend, suddenly the verse quoted by Hazel on the train came into my mind. "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." I did not know where the verse was, nor had I ever been in an evangelistic service where I might have heard such a verse preached upon. But I knew nevertheless what the words meant. God was telling me that it was only when his spirit strove with a man that he could be saved. He was also saying that his spirit would not strive forever. Opportunities rejected would come to an end. All this was impressed upon my heart in a moment. Of course, Albert, looking on, he knew nothing of what was going on. I said suddenly to him, "I'd like to go upstairs to the room." I had been staying, as I said, in his home. And I went up to the room that had been given to me, and I fell down upon my knees beside the bed. I asked the Lord to save me. I repeated this petition over a few times. That is all I knew to pray. I got up from my knees. I knew that I had been earnest and that I had called upon the Lord. But had he answered me? That I was not sure of. The next day I was back at work. The smoking was gone. The cursing had stopped.
I even said to my mother that Monday evening that Albert and I had turned over a new leaf. But that was as far as I could go. I was still not sure whether or not I was a Christian. The next weekend, on Sunday the 12th, my mother and father did that which they had done on a number of occasions over the previous year or so. They asked me to come with them to hear Ian Paisley preach, for they had started to attend his meetings. I'd always refused to go to hear Mr. Paisley, for I believed all that I had heard about him in the press and other sources. "I'm not going to hear that bigot," I used to say to my parents. "Anne's a fool." This time, however, my heart jumped at the opportunity, and I said I would go. That night, under the preaching of God's word, all my doubts disappeared. After the meeting, Mr. Paisley gave me some literature, such as Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment, and The Gospel in a Nutshell, and I eagerly took it home and read it. That night I saw how that when I had called upon the Lord, he had heard me, he had accepted me and saved me, even as he had promised he would. For do we not read in John 6:23, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And again, the words of Peter, Acts 2:2, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." On the merits of Christ's death alone, I had been accepted with the Father and was reconciled to him. I had passed from death unto life, from darkness to light. I was in Christ, safe and secure. That was 35 years ago today. He has kept me, provided for me, protected me, blessed me, and surrounded me with tokens of his mercy. I have his assurance of a home in glory when I die. All this I find in God's precious word in the gospel. This is my story. Won't you join with me on a Monday morning at 10? We'd be delighted to have your company. God bless you.
That's how our program sounded on the first Monday morning it was broadcast. It is now 39 years since I was converted, and I have no reason to regret the decision that I made by the grace of God that Lord's Day evening in that home on the Shore Road in Belfast. I never will have to regret that decision. John Newton wrote a hymn, Amazing Grace. In that hymn there is a verse which reads, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began." What a joyful prospect. Is it yours today? It can be if you come to Christ as a sinner and trust in him alone for your salvation. Do remember our program tonight. I will continue our study of the life and times of Elijah, and I will play a portion of a sermon entitled "The War in Iraq: Foreshadowings of Future Events." We will be offering that sermon free to our listeners. Join with us then at 9 o'clock this evening. God bless you, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT 78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT 78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.